You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Well, I'm glad I came back to third service tonight. I'm glad I'm here in night church tonight. Anyone else, they're glad at night church tonight. Come on now. It is so good to be in church with you all this evening. I am super excited because this morning we had the great pleasure of Pastor Reggie Dabbs in both of our morning services. And I got to tell you, he kicked it out of the park. It was fantastic. Who was here? Come on. It was a good morning. Good. I'm glad. And a whole bunch of people here tonight who weren't here this morning, I gotta tell you, you're in for a great night tonight. We've been worshiping God together. We've been entering in with thanksgiving. We've done an offering. We've been drawing near to God. Our hearts are open. Amen. I gotta tell you, I'm expecting God to move in your heart tonight. Amen. Come on, someone say, I'm expecting a move of God. Come on. Are you expecting a move of God? If you are, give Him a shout of praise. Come on. Well, Reggie, come on up. I gotta tell you, give Reggie a great big hand as he comes to preach the third time.
Well, go ahead, sit down. Y'all good? Everybody's happy but Packer fans. Dude, that wasn't my fault. I'm gonna be honest, y'all. That's all right. I'm a Cowboy fan. You lasted 1 week longer than we did, and that was about it. Could you do me a favor? Touch your neighbor and say, wow, dude, you scared me half to death. What are you doing? I couldn't move my own. Dude, you can't be slipping up on a brother like that. I almost swung first. That ain't right. I told you this morning, children of the corn. I just like a little scared. If you wasn't here, never mind. Let me give you the title of tonight's sermon. Tonight's title is simply this. You got to do it by saying it to your neighbor, though. Look at somebody left or right. Look at them and say, hey, neighbor, this is your spot. Come on, touch somebody else and say, hey, hey, neighbor, this is your spot. So I'm going to start tonight by playing a little saxophone for everybody. I do not have one song. I do not have two songs. On the course of my preaching, I will have three songs tonight. Man, you could bring a brother to Iowa. He got to lay it all on the line, you know what I'm saying? So my first song is for everybody who has an AARP card. Yeah, I'm not playing. I got mine. It's all good. I know I look good, though, because black don't crack. But I'm just saying now. If you wasn't here all day, you're sitting there going, what? It's only just begun, all right? So here's the deal. If you young people, y'all don't know nothing. Y'all don't know nothing. You don't know what real music is. So I decided I'm going to play a real song for everybody. You need to hear real music, real music. So this is it. This is real music. So if you old, if you got an AARP card, you need to grab your cell phone, turn on the flashlight, and just wave it over your head during this song. If you that old, then you probably didn't even know your phone had a flashlight, all right? So give your phone to a kid beside you. They'll turn it on for you, and they may hold your hand so that you don't fall down, all right? It's okay. We're going to make this work, all right? So here we go. Real music, it sounds like this.
Thank you.
ahead and say, all right, all right, all right. If you have a Bible, I need you to turn in it real fast to the book of Luke, chapter 1. And then touch your neighbor and say, this is your spot. It's a simple story. Some of you heard it when you were a little kid, but it goes like this. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Now, look, sometimes when a black preacher reads the Bible, they'll have you repeat certain things that he just read. It's not just so you can repeat them. It's so that you can get the story. And that's what I'm going to do, just to help you out in case you didn't bring a Bible and you don't have that app on your phone. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Everybody say, just passing through. That means he wasn't even, he just passing through. Just happened to be passing through. Check this out. For Jesus, if you keep reading the Bible, you find out where Jesus ended up. If you really want to study it, Jesus took the longest route to get where he had to go by going through Jericho. So literally, he shouldn't have been there, but he did. And there's a reason why. Let's keep reading. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, I like the way that man reads the Bible. I know you do. Verse 2. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. Now, that ain't good. Let me break that up. Tax collector means he takes money from you. That's what I was getting at right there. And on top of that, not only is he taking your money, he rich. Let me break it down, okay? You drive a Kia. He drives a Maserati. And he's taking your money. That's what we're getting at. There's a reason why this story comes down like this. And that would be it right there. Some of you, you young. So let's put it this way. You ride the bus. Verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. That's just the icing on the cake. Not only is he driving a Maserati, he got to sit on a phone book to see over the steering wheel. And if you young, you don't know what a phone book is. He had to go to the payphone. Never mind. Y'all don't even know what a payphone is. He had to dial 411. Never mind. Let's just go on. Let's just let it go. All the old people love me tonight. So he's short. He a hobbit from New Zealand. And he takes your money, all right? Dude, that's why he couldn't see over the crowd. Because when they realized who it was, they like, get away, you little hobbit. Little Kiwi, get away. But I like it because of the next verse. It says, verse 4. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree. I know why you're laughing, because you and I both are trying to. I want to see the video when I get to heaven on how that little brother got that first branch. I mean, come on. Did he drive his Maserati under the tree and get on the hood? Let's just go on. All right. He climbed the tree because he knew Jesus was coming that way. There's something about Zacchaeus I like. You ready for this? Even when people said no, he found a way. Even when they said, I ain't letting you see him. He's like, I will see him. Sometimes you can't listen to what people say. You got to do what you got to do to get to your spot. Touch your neighbor and say, this is your spot. Oh, this is good. It's going to get better, y'all. It's going to get real better. Because here's the last verse. Here it is, verse number 5. Check this out. If you can't see it, look at it. Check this out. When Jesus reached the spot. I'm not a rocket scientist, but I come up with some good titles, all right? When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down and welcomed him gladly. I started at verse 1. In verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, never does anybody say that brother's name. So when Jesus reached this spot and looked up and saw this little hobbit in the tree, how did he know that brother's name? It's because Jesus is God's son. He didn't take off God's son when he became man. He wore both crowns, all right? He was Son of God and Son of Man. So God made Zacchaeus. God exhaled and Zacchaeus inhaled. God knew his name. So God gave his son the ability to know his name as well. So whoever you are and wherever you're sitting tonight, God knows your name. He knows where you're from. He let you sit in his chair tonight. He's letting you breathe his air. I'm just here telling you something that you need to know. What you need to know is don't let your past dictate your future, because your past is your history and your future is your destiny. And if you let Jesus be your future, your destiny is going to be great. I'm preaching good tonight, yo. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, this is your spot. Come on, tell somebody, say, hey, this is your spot. So the question is, what are you going to do when he says your name tonight? Do you have enough guts to climb down out of the tree and welcome him, or are you going to try to act like a squirrel and hide? You know what I like? I might as well finish it for you. It says, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he's going to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said, Lord, right here and now, I give half my possessions to the poor. If I cheated anybody, I'll pay him four times the amount. Verse 9, Jesus hadn't said a word. Do y'all know that? Dude, this little brother, people were like, ooh, he a sinner. God going to sin. He goes, see, I'm giving half my junk to the poor, and if I cheated anybody, I'll pay him four times the amount. I'm like, and Jesus is like, why are you going to do that? But if you want to, that's cool. And then in verse 9, Jesus goes, salvation just came to this man's house. Here's the deal. You can live the way you want, but you will not find another human that will love you more than me. I don't care what you've done. You may be nasty. Well, guess what? Everybody is. Let me give it to you biblical, because me just saying you nasty means nothing. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know what that means? Where Reggie's from in the hood? I'm nasty, you nasty. Don't you wish you were nasty too? Well, you are, okay? In other words, we all need Jesus. See, sometimes we make the Bible a little more complicated than it really is. Here's the deal. If you ever wake up in the middle of the night and say, why me? Jesus is there. And he did it so that he could say your name and get you out of that mess. Touch your neighbor and say, this is your spot. Touch your other neighbor and say, this is your spot. So ladies and gentlemen, here's how this goes. You ain't going to believe what happened to me. You are not going to believe what happened to me. Everybody touch your neighbor and say, he ain't lying. Touch your other neighbor and say, it really happened. Okay, look, this morning I said that I speak in schools all around the world. I do a lot of traveling, ton of traveling. Matter of fact, this coming week I'll be in Atlanta till Thursday. Then I go to Orlando, Florida. I am also what we call a pro player speaker, so I work for the National Football League. I speak to all 32 teams, and I will do the Pro Bowl. I will be hanging out with families of the guys who made the Pro Bowl, making sure they're cool and their kids are cool and everybody's happy. Then the next week, next weekend, I will be in Tennessee. I'll be in Gatlinburg doing a fundraiser for all the fires that went through there, trying to make sure everybody has a roof over their head. And then the next week, I will go to Houston, Texas, and I will be speaking at Super Bowl breakfast the day before the Super Bowl. Also, I'm doing a leadership conference for a small, struggling church in Houston with a pastor named Joel Osteen, and I'm going to try to help them. I do what I got to do, all right? Some people just need a little help, need a little nudge. And I'm just here to help give them a little nudge, you know what I'm saying? Friends, I'm just saying. And then the week after that, I will go to London, England. I will be 1 week with Hillsong London, doing schools and helping them with their things and then doing their Sunday services. Then the week after that, I come home, I have 3 days off, and then we start. Then we hit it really hard. We'll be doing schools in Ohio, and then we go to Mississippi, and then we go to California, and then we go to Tennessee. Then I'll do a conference called Winterfest in Knoxville. There'll be 20,000 young people there. And then the next week, I will be in Georgia doing schools, and then I will go to a teachers' conference in New York City where the top 1,000 teachers in America will be, and I'm their keynote that night. And my whole thing is, if it wasn't for you, where would we be? It's fun. It's fun. So I get to do a lot of things to a lot of people in a lot of different places, but the most thing I love is life. I love life. I am the same person here that I am out there. You can ask Pastor Jesse. I don't change. This is who I am. And I found out when you're normal, you've learned normal things. For example, did you know that boys and girls are different? And in every school, I let kids know the reason I'm here is because I know the meaning of life. Number one, boys and girls are different. Let me help you. Okay. If one girl has to go to the bathroom, two girls get to go with her. You will never see a boy jump up in class and go, ooh, I got to go. Hey, Steve, let's go pee-pee. Number two, women sneeze pretty. Women are like, katoo. If a brother sneezes, he can clear a room, all right? Women cry pretty. They're like, katoo. Man, we hold it in. But when a brother finally cries, it's the ugliest thing you ever seen in your life. Brother's like, it ain't good. Number three, women can drive cars better than men. It's proven fact, proven fact, proven fact. And don't boo, you in the ninth grade, you ride a bicycle, shut up, all right? A woman will wreck her car to save a cat running across the road. A man will wreck his car trying to kill that sucker running across the road. And all the hour men are like, yeah. Number four, anybody ever get up in the morning, get your toothbrush and toothpaste, go to put it in your mouth and the toothpaste falls off? Girls, what do? Wash it out, get more toothpaste. Brothers, what do? Scoop it up. Who cares if your daddy shaved that morning? Scoop it up anyway. Go to school, got hair on your teeth, not good, all right? So number one, boys and girls are different. Number two, it's real simple. It's a phrase. I'll say it, you say it back to me. Life is a roller coaster. Life is a roller coaster. I love roller coasters. They go so fast, it makes my fat go backwards. I'm skinny again, all right? No, that's not a joke. Like 13 years ago, I rode the fastest roller coaster in the world, 120 miles an hour. It went so fast, I went blind. My cheeks flew over my head. All I could hear in my ear was like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, what is that? Halfway through the ride, I realized what it was. We were going so fast, my fat was flying backwards so fast, my fat was suffocating the girl sitting behind me, all right? In reality, the girl was yelling, help! But with my fat hitting her in the face, it was like, blah, 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 not good. When I was like in ninth grade, my friends taught me to get on a roller coaster, went upside down. Reggie, don't be long upside down. I go upside down, people get hurt, you know what I'm saying? But all my friends are like, Reggie, Reggie. So I'm like, all right, let's do this. The ride broke. No, we went downhill around the curve. Halfway through the loop, brakes grabbed. We stopped upside down. I'm hanging upside down. All my fat is rolling toward my head. I'm trying to push it down. I could hear it on the news. Fat man died on roller coaster. Then it got worse. The girl in front of me, she threw up, and the wind was blowing in my direction. I can't duck, and if I could duck, my belly button would give me a hickey on my forehead. That ain't good. Some of you are like going, what does that have to do with life? Everything. You know why? Some days you're on top of the hill, everything's great. Some days you're going downhill so fast you want to quit. Never get off the ride of life because they'll fix the ride. The only question is, will you be on the ride when they fix it? So the phrase of the day is never give up. Everybody say, never give up. Touch the person right beside you. Say, never give up. Answer that person and say, all right, all right, all right. See, that's what happens when you're normal. You get things nobody else ever thinks of. But that's what happens when you get to your spot. And God has a spot for you. He doesn't love me more than he loves you. But I got to be honest. Weird things happen with me. Okay, look. I had to go to New Zealand. To get to New Zealand from Florida, you get on a plane, fly to Texas, from Texas to California, California to New Zealand. Let me break it down. Hour. It's 1 hour and 50 minutes from Florida to Texas. It's 4 hours and 10 minutes from Texas to California. It's 15 hours and 35 minutes from California to New Zealand. But it's free movies. Watch 5 movies, you're there. You blind for the next 3 days, but you're there. So the first flight, everything was fine. The second flight, the plane broke. The plane broke. Okay, little lady looking at me like, oh, my God. Your plane broke? No, it was on the ground. It wasn't in the air. If a plane crashes, normal-sized people can survive. Me, way too big. If I'm in a plane crash, I'm dead. And whoever sent me Sabi, she dead too, all right? Y'all, just be honest. Some of you are like, can we laugh? Yes, you can. It was on the ground. So it took them 3 hours to fix the plane. By the time I got to California, San Francisco, I had to run from one terminal to the other to make my plane to get to New Zealand. So I don't know if you've ever seen a brother running through the airport, but it's pretty awesome, especially when he's this big. I mean, normal people, it's no big deal. But I wish I had a GoPro. I could have made some money that day, all right? Because all you could hear is, look out! People, women were grabbing their purses. People were grabbing their children. Some dude yelled, ISIS is coming. I didn't know what he was saying. But let's just go on. When I finally got to Air New Zealand, I was tired, y'all. I was like, and the lady behind the counter goes, you all right? I went, she goes, are you going to New Zealand? She said, the plane's gone. I went, what? She said, the plane's gone. I went, you left me? You can't leave me. She goes, what's your name? I said, Reggie. She goes, what's your last name? I said, Dabs. She said, Mr. Dabbs, it's okay. It says right here, we're so sorry, it's our fault. We got a hotel for you. We have a limousine for you. We have a driver take you wherever you want to go. Look out that window. See that limousine? It's yours. We're going to fly you tomorrow. We already called New Zealand. They pushed your school tour for one day, and we're going to take care of you, okay? I said, all right, all right, all right. Okay, now look at me. We friends now. Y'all know good and well I didn't go straight to no hotel if I had a limousine driver in San Francisco. You know I went to McDonald's. I'm just saying, all right? And you know I ordered through the drive-thru. And you know when I got to the window to pay, I'm standing in the sunroof like, what? It was good. It was good. But when I got to the hotel, I'm at the embassy. Lady, are you all right? You all right? You good? She's on the front row. Just go ahead and laugh. You have a good time. All right? I was on the 12th floor at the Embassy Suite Hotel. It was midnight there, which is 3 a.m. Eastern time. I had to go to bed. I was sleeping good, and then it happened. Touch your neighbor and say, he ain't lying. Touch your neighbor and say, he telling true. Hey, can I say something? I got to be honest. No one except one lady has moved this whole sermon, which is scary. Either you guys are absolutely enjoying this, or you've never seen a black guy before. I'm going to go with number one, all right? I just want to see that guy laugh over there. One guy in this room hadn't laughed at none of my jokes until right then. Didn't he laugh? So I can, let's pray. We're going home, all right? Amen. Go Steelers. All right. I was out sleeping real good. Out. And then the voice in my head said, uh-oh. And I'm like, uh-oh what, y'all? Hand on the Bible. Last week of August, last year, San Francisco, California, I was in an earthquake. People, everything was shaking. My bed shaking, the curtain shaking, the TV shaking, everything. All I could think of was, earthquake. And I'm thinking, I'm on the 12th floor. I wonder who under me on the 11th floor. Whoever they are, they ain't gonna make it. So what do? I jumped out of bed. I was like, by the time I jumped up, it's over. Everything stopped. I grabbed a remote, turned on the TV. It's some early morning weather guy. He's like, did y'all feel that? That was an earthquake. It's going to be sunny in 72 tomorrow. We were just in an earthquake. So I grabbed my iPad. That's what you do if you want to find out something. And I typed it, went on Wi-Fi. I typed in earthquake. First thing that came up on my iPad on the last week of August, it said this, earthquake. Armenia, formerly a part of the Soviet Union, 6.8 on the Richter scale, December 7, 1988, thousands dead, thousands injured, father loves son. So I read it again, earthquake, Armenia, 6.8 on the Richter scale, December 7, 1988, thousands dead, thousands injured, father loves son. What is that? Father loves son. Why is that even there? Father loves son. So if you have an iPad, then you know this is true. If you touch anything in the search, it'll go there. So I touched father loves son, and it took me there. On December 7, 1988, early in the morning, a dad opened his door to his son's bedroom. The son was sound asleep, so the dad did something a little strange. He fell on all fours and crawled across the bedroom floor. When he got by his son's bed and peeked over the edge, he started whispering the same phrase over and over and over again. And every time he said it, he got a little louder. He said, then it got a little weird. I'll always be there for you. Okay, no, that was just my attempt at being in a scary movie. It didn't work out. Iowa corn. I just had to try, all right? By the time the dad got loud, I'll always be there for you, the little guy was laughing his head off. Just a second grader. He was laughing so hard, his dad scooped him up, got him showered, dressed, gave him breakfast, and they walked to the school down the end of the street hand in hand. Every day, this dad would say to his son, I'll always be there for you. 100-plus times. He started 2 years earlier, the day that the little boy said goodbye to his mom and the day that the dad buried his wife. She was in a car accident and they could not save her. He quit his high-paying lawyer job, took another job where he didn't have to go to work till after his son started school, and he got out of work before his son got out of school. So every morning at the school gate, he was there. Every afternoon when school let out, he was there. Everything he did was for his son, and on that day, they just didn't know. Hey, anybody here ever have something happen that you wish hadn't? You ever get in bed one night and look at your day that you just lived and said, if I'd have known this morning, I never would have got out of bed. We all have those days. This dad, when he got to the school steps at the school gate, he hugged his son one more time and said, I'll always be here for you. He never got to work when the earthquake hit. Buildings were falling all around him. 6.8 is one of the strongest earthquakes in the history of the world. He dropped his briefcase and never found it again. All he could think of was his son. He ran. When he turned the corner, his eyes could see the school. It was a three-story school, elementary school, 1,000 students. Everybody was in a classroom, but the school was too weak, couldn't handle that earthquake, and it imploded on itself, and it buried them all. All you could recognize was the school steps. He ran to the gate, and the dad stood there. He could hear women screaming, my baby, my child. All he did was close his eyes, and the dad thought back to the first day of school. You know why, my brother? Because on the first day of school, he did not just take his son to the gate. He took him to the classroom. So one, he knew it was 8 steps to get up there. 2, turn left and go 29 steps down the first hall. 3, turn right and go 13 steps. 4, turn left, and he's in front of the classroom. When he opened his eyes physically, he's still outside. But he knew that's where his son was, somewhere underneath. So the dad started digging. I read it 4 different places. 2, 5, 9, 4, 12. 15 hours he dug. After 15 hours, couldn't feel his hands. When he looked down, blood everywhere. The sharp rocks and glass messed his hands up. So he took his shirt off, wrapped them in his hands, kept digging. 15, 19, 24. A whole day and night he dug. 27, 29. Hallucinating, hearing things, seeing things. 32, 35. At 37 hours, told himself, you got to stop. At 39, there was a piece of concrete he could not move. So he found an iron rod, stuck it in the crack of that concrete, somehow got leverage. He moved it over and it was a hole. He was done. 39 hours later, he yelled in the hole, son, son. Then his son yelled back, dad, I knew you'd come. I knew you'd come. I knew you'd come. The dad started weeping. He put his hand in the hole and said, take my hand. He goes, I can't. He goes, are you stuck? He goes, no. The boy, he said, dad, you got to take my friends first. And he felt the hand. He pulled the kid out. And another, and another. 23 times he reached in the hole. And every time he pulled out a kid. And on the 23rd time, it was his boy. I'm sitting on the edge of a bed on the 12th floor of the Embassy Suite Hotel in San Francisco reading that story on my iPad, and all of a sudden I look down, and there's water spots on my... I knew that was a strong earthquake. I thought the sprinkler system broke. Then I realized I was the sprinkler. Because the whole time I'm reading that story, this voice in my head goes, who dig you up? Who'd come for you? I've been here all day, and I've kept my secret. But I need to tell you why that voice in my head was saying that. I'm a little different than you would think. A lot of people have their opinion on preachers and who they are and where they come from. But you need to understand who's speaking to you. I have rarely preached an entire sermon without telling people where I'm from. And this morning is one of a handful of times that I did not tell you me. Until now. I was 8 years old when my mom and dad came to school for parent-teacher conference. I hate parent-teacher conference. If you hate parent-teacher conference, clap your hands. I hate that day. Thank you. My name's at the top of the list. So my mom and dad show up. They're the first ones to meet the teacher. They sit down for 5 minutes. When it's all said and done, we walk outside. I notice something. All my friends' parents are young, but my parents are like old. So in the car going home, I'm in the back, they're in the front. I was taught, if you got a question, ask. So I yelled to the front seat, hey, why y'all old? Don't ever do that, all right? When we got home, my dad said, we got to talk. So they put me at the kitchen table to have a talk. Anybody ever been to the kitchen table with your parents to have a talk? If you haven't, don't go. All the young people, look at Reggie. If you don't smell food, run, girl, run, okay? My dad started. My dad looked at me and said, son, there's a plan for your life. I said, yes, sir. My mom looked at me and said my favorite word. She said, baby, I like that. Okay, y'all can laugh if you want, but when I was little, I thought my mom was magic. Every time she said, baby, my darkest night had a light, my cloudiest day had sunshine. No matter what I was going through, I could make it because mama said, baby, I know. Y'all like big old black man love his mama. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's not magic. If she was, she would have won. But it was cancer. But then I realized she did win because to be absent from this world is to be with Jesus. She cried that night for 10 minutes, and my dad moved chairs and held my mom. Once again, have you ever had something happen in your past you wish you could change? But you know you won't forget it, don't you? Anybody here ever noticed that the darker it gets physically outside, the darker it can get on the inside? You ever wake up 2, 3 in the morning and every bad thing ever happened to you rolling through your head and you can't sleep? We'll come back to that. This was mine. My mom cried for 10 minutes. My dad held her and said, tell him. My mom looked up and she simply said this, baby, I'm sorry. I'm old because I'm not your mom. And my dad whispered, I'm not your dad. You see, I grew up in a program called foster care my entire life. I was told that my mom, I have a brother named Keith and two sisters, Anna and Jeanette. My mom kept my brother. My mom kept both my sisters. She said that I was a mistake and I should have never been born, and she regrets the day that she had me. When my foster care mom said that, she goes, are you all right? I said, I'm fine. Was I fine? No. Now hear me out. From 8 years old to 21 years old, I had one dream. Do you know what I wanted? I did not want to meet my mom. I did not want to meet my brother. I did not want to meet my sisters. All I wanted was to die. Nobody knew. But I really believe that's what makes me really good at this. Because once you've wanted to die and you come back from it, then the words that come out of your mouth have meaning, don't it? So I'm going to say something a little weird. Even though my past is really hard, I embrace it because God trusted me with those scars. Hey, what scars has he trusted you with? Oh, this is deep now, I know. Because see, this is your spot. They see, Zacchaeus didn't get taller when he came out of the tree. He found a Savior when he came out of the tree. He may not change the situation that you're in, but he could change the way you look at the situation that you're in. And trust me, you can believe me if you want. And if you don't, that's cool. I have guys look at me all the time now and say, how do you know God's real? What if it's all just a big old game? I say, well, if it's a game, then I'm still the happiest fat black man you've ever met in your entire life. And I've given people hope. I've given people peace. I've given people something to get up in the morning for. I've made people laugh. I've given people joy. I said, what do you do? And if it's all a joke, when I die, whatever happens, happens. But I left my mark on this planet. I got nothing to lose, and neither do you. The question is, how did I make it? I'm almost done. Is that okay? I've actually took my time tonight. I haven't even looked at my watch until just now. But is it all right? Are y'all good? I mean, nobody's moving, so I figured I'll take my time. Do you know how I made it? Here it is. Here's how I made it. It was 3:06 a.m. I was 12 years old. At 3:06 a.m., I woke up, and everything's rolling through my mind, and I decided I was going to die. And in my mind, I planned the whole thing, and I started to cry. And my bedroom door opened, and my foster care dad walked in. This brother was 6'4", bald-headed, the biggest brother, black man you've ever seen in your life. He was a school janitor. And when he talked, everybody listened because his voice was like thunder. He would like, go to bed. That's him, all right? That night, the school janitor, and I know, man, don't judge anybody by what they get a paycheck for. Judge them by the content of their character. All right? Do you know what he did? My door open, I'm crying. He walks over, puts his arm around me, and he goes, I can't give you my blood, but if you let me, I'll give you my heart. Somebody love me. When I got older, I asked him one day, I said, hey, remember when I was 12 and at 3 o'clock in the morning you came in my bedroom? He goes, yeah. I said, how did you hear me crying? I said, I thought you'd never ask. I said, I slept at your door for 3 days because I knew something was wrong. That night when he came in and said that and hugged me, my foster care mom walked in and said this, I know your real mom. I said, how do you know her? She gave you to me. I said, why would my mom give me to you? She went, oh, baby, I was your mom's favorite teacher at school. I was raised by my mom's 10th grade English teacher. Okay, let's put this thing together. My name is Reggie. I'm the number one communicator to young people in the world. I speak to 1.5 million kids every year. I said, number one, I speak in public schools. And my mom gave me away to her favorite teacher. I could have been bitter. I could have been angry. I could have took a gun. I could have took a knife. I could have took a rope and put it around my neck. But instead, I'm slapping the devil in the face every day that I wake up, making him wish he'd never took my family away from me. So I got a song. I need your help. I need your help on this one. See, here's the deal. What you got to realize is you could be someone's answer. You could be somebody's hope. You could put skin, Jesus skin on, and actually do something for the person sitting beside you. You don't know where they're from. Dude, it's simple. Living for Jesus is the coolest thing ever. Because he can help you see things nobody else does. I only got 5 minutes left, and I only got one more song because I'm hungry. All right, so here's how I went. It was 3 days before Halloween. I went to Walmart to get bottled water. I'm in a checkout line, right? There's a lady in front of me with a six-year-old son. She's putting her groceries on the belt. The six-year-old boy sees a $7 sign with a bunch of Halloween costumes. He goes cray. He's like, Mom, 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 Mom. And the mom's like, what? He goes, Mom, look, I'm Batman. And she says, wait, wait. He goes, only $7, Mama, please. He goes, just wait. He waited quietly. When the mom got all her groceries on the belt, she turns around with a tear rolling down her cheek, pulls her son in close. She's looking at me and says, baby, I hope you understand. This is all the money we have. I don't get paid till after Halloween. I'm going to make your costume. You're going to be awesome for Halloween. But, baby, you can't be Batman. Little boy wipes the tear off her cheek, kisses her, and said, it's okay, Mama. I understand we ain't got money. But, Mama, don't you ever forget, I'm Batman. She stands up and pays for her groceries. She's putting her bags in her cart to push to her car. Some of y'all been to Walmart. You know what I'm talking about. I put my water on the belt. Cashiers at Walmart say the same line every time. They will look at you and say, did you find everything you needed? Is there anything else I can get for you? And I said, yes. Run and get a Batman costume for that little kid right there. Put it in a separate bag. I'll give it to him in the parking lot. She goes, do you know them? I said, no. She goes, that's cool. She ran and got it. Then she said, I'm coming with you. So she reached up and turned her number off. There were six people in line behind me. She looked at them and said, y'all better find another line to go to. We walk outside and walk up to the lady. I said, excuse me, ma'am, you forgot a bag. She goes, I did? She looked in the bag and saw the costume and began to cry. She said, why did you do that? I said, because your son, he's Batman. Happy Halloween. And somebody in this room right now, you're so spiritual, you're mad because it's Halloween. And if that's you, sweet. Obviously, your mansion's going to be a lot bigger than mine in heaven. I'm just messing with y'all, dude. It's good. every day I'm somebody's miracle. I look to find something I can do. Why? Because this is my spot. That's a good sermon, wasn't it? That's really good. I got one more thing, though. So here's how I do it in public schools, and this is what we're going to do. In public schools, every day, like tomorrow morning, 160,000 kids will not go to school tomorrow morning. It's not snow or ice. They don't have the flu. It's because when they did go, somebody bullied and teased them and said something so bad that they refused to go back to school again. If that's true and negative, then that means our words could be a positive. So let me show you how I do it in a public school. Right now, you're going to be someone's answer. Right now, you're going to be somebody's love. Right now, the words you're about to say and do is going to help somebody get to that spot. So I need everybody in the room just to put up a number one. Just put up the finger. Come on, help me out. Put up number. There you go. There you go. Take that finger, point at somebody beside you. Look them in the eye and say, don't you give up. That's not good enough. A little bit louder. Do it. Say, don't you give up. Take that finger, put it back right here. Put it back right here. Now point at yourself and say, I won't give up. Now put your finger back up again. Now let the whole room hear you. Say, let me love you. All right, now one more time. Point at somebody and say, don't you give up. Point at yourself. Say, I won't give up. Point it up and say, let me love you. Go ahead and hit that next song. Y'all got to help me. Clap your hands. Like this.
you give up, nah, nah, nah. I won't give up, nah, nah, nah. Let me love you.
Come on, say it.
Let me love you.
Oh, clap your hands right now. Y'all did good. Don't sit down. Stay standing. Let me say a prayer for you as pastor comes. Jesus, thank you for this night. Thank you. What a great night. I've had fun. I preach longer tonight, Jesus, than I have my whole career. But God, I praise you for people who love you. But God, even in a room, even in a happiness like this, somebody's at that spot. They're literally in their heart hearing you call them. And you're saying, come down, come down. Jesus, give them the courage to come to you tonight. God, I know you know us. You know everything about us. Even the bad things that happen to us, you care. And the night comes when we cry and we just wonder if anybody cares. God, let us hear you right now on this Sunday night saying, don't you give up. I didn't give up. Now let me love you. So I pray as we do this prayer together, asking Jesus to be Lord of our life, that you would touch someone in this room. Somebody in this room right now is living wrong and they know they are. Give them the courage to say these words that we're about to say all together as a church. And let this be the night they remember for the rest of their life. The night that they came home to Jesus. And the day that this was their spot. And you gave them salvation. So ladies and gentlemen, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, the Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, we're saved. So that's what we're doing right now. So say it with me front to back. If you are a sinner tonight, I'm not better than you. I just asked Jesus before you did. So join the family. Come on, join our family. Join our family. So let's say it together. Say, Jesus, right here, tonight, I realize I need you. So I'm asking now, you love me. Forgive me. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Tonight is my night. I hear you calling me. So I'm coming to you. Thank you, Jesus, for moving the hurt and pain in my life, for digging me up, for calling my name. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking up. If you say, tonight when I walked in the room, I know I had sin in my life. But Reggie, by faith, I said that prayer. I believe that God touched me. If that's you, confess him before man. Since I'm a man, this is what the Bible says in Matthew. So if tonight you got right with Jesus, tonight you gave your life to Jesus, I just want you to wave at me and then put your hand down. Ready? Go. Just wave at me. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.